Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good afternoon, folks. We on the right have been warning you for the past several decades just what the Democrats have in mind if we gave them the chance. And every time we elect them to a majority in anything, we are going to get slammed because we are giving them the chance. We just elected them to a House majority, and already they are trying to steal elections all over the nation so they can have more power over us. Having the House isn't enough. Having the Senate and the House wouldn't be enough. Having the Senate, the House, and the White House wouldn't be enough. That is the way they are. But that is not all. In California, they are showing us just what their agenda really is for us. From raw conservative opinions comes this one. California Democrat threatens nukes, and you heard me right, N-U-K-S, nukes, if Americans don't hand over their guns. Well, that escalated quickly. Just days after taking back the House, a Democratic congressman has proposed outlawing military-style semi-automatic assault weapons and forcing existing owners to sell their weapons or face prosecution. Sounds suspiciously like gun confiscation to me, folks. In a USA Today op-ed entitled "Ban Assault Weapons, Buy Them Back, Go After Resistors," Representative Eric Swalwell, S-W-A-L-W-E-L-L, proposes to ban assault weapons, quote, would leave millions of assault weapons in our communities for decades to come, unquote. Swalwell proposes that the government should offer up to $1,000 for every weapon covered by a new ban, estimating that it would take $15 billion to buy back roughly 15 million weapons, and criminally prosecute any who choose to defy the buyback by keeping their weapons. As NBC News reports, this was a major departure from prior gun control proposals that typically exempt existing firearms. As in the past, Democrats and safety gun groups have carefully resisted proposals that could be interpreted as gun confiscation, a concept gun rights groups have often invoked as part of a slippery slope argument against more modest proposals like universal background checks. And sure enough, Swalwell's egotistical overreach going full Australia prompted anger across social media. But it was one particular thread that caught our eye. John Cardillo, America Talks Live host on Newsmax, tweeted in response, "Make no mistake, Democrats want to eradicate the Second Amendment." And I've been telling you this for years now, folks. Ban and seize all weapons and have all power rest in with the state. These people are dangerously obsessed with power. Prompted a further response from Joe Biggs, a combat vet, who said, "So basically, Representative Swalwell wants a war. Because that's what you get. You're out of your effing mind if you think I'll give up my rights and give the government all the power." To which Representative Swalwell decided to reply, and in a not tyrannical sounding way at all. He said, quote, "And it would be a short war, my friend. The government has nukes. Too many of them, but they're legit. I'm sure if we talked, we could find some common ground to protect our families and communities," unquote. So our government would nuke its own country in order to take guns? Wow, Biggs responded. "Don't be so dramatic. You're claiming you need a gun to protect yourself against the government is ludicrous. You seem like a reasonable person. If an assault weapon ban happens, I'm sure you'll follow law," Swalwell tweeted back. And after the fervor exploded, Swalwell quickly resorted to the "it was sarcasm" excuse. Folks, for Democrats, it's never sarcasm. What they say is what they believe. Now, the question is, who will Twitter ban? the conservative-leaning Second Amendment protector raising his social media above the pulpit, or the liberal politician who is threatening to unleash nukes on domestic soil in order to ensure the citizenry follow his demands and hand over their means of defense. To be continued, and believe me, folks, we keep giving the Democrats chances by electing them to majorities in anything, they are going to take our God-given rights away from us. That is their mantra, their reason for being. The Constitution be damned, laws be damned. What they want is all that matters. As John Gargiulo of Newsmax said, these people are dangerously obsessed with power, and that is power over you and me, folks. To them, we are not smart enough to own guns, run our own lives, own our own homes, own our own cars, etc. Give them half a chance, folks, and the Constitution will be gone, along with all the laws that are there to protect each and every one of us. That is the problem we have with doing what was done in the election earlier this month. We are giving them the power to do what they want to all of us, and that is screw us totally. This is the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, or NWCR as I've been calling it, and I'm your host, Robert the Infidel, with today's show. Glad you are here with us on this, the 18th day of November in the year of our Lord 2018, and now on with the show.
Roger that. News sources that there is serious talk of Antifa having a nationwide protest slash riot. I think it was like November 4th or 3rd.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. At the rate our leaders are ignoring our Constitution, we're finding that they cannot lead, nor do they want to keep us safe from our enemies. And yes, we have some. From the crossroads of America, the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show is brought to you through the traditional American Patriot Network with the doctor of this republic, showing that the truth can be told to save this nation. And now, on with the show.
Okay, folks, we are back. The call-in number, if you want to join in the show, which is only going to be an hour tonight, is 646-478-5284 if you wish to join the discussion. The vote counting situation in Florida's Palm Beach County has been going from bad to worse with the use of any common sense here, and we have to know fraud has reared its ugly head here. As the Democratic attorneys push to allow Florida counties as much time as they need to finish a machine recount that threatens to switch the outcomes for the state's gubernatorial and Senate races, which kind of changed today, from Republican to Democratic Party, a recount is also being held for the state's Agricultural Commission position, ballot counting machines in problem-plagued Palm Beach have broken down, forcing the county to restart its recount at of 175,000 ballots, according to the Miami Herald. This latest setback means the country likely won't meet a Thursday afternoon deadline to finish the recount, and its official election officials, including election supervisor Susan Bucher, are scrambling to request more time after losing a whole day's worth of work, which, by the way, folks, it should have been done the night of the election. Every other county in the United States was, but not those two, and a couple in Arizona, of course. But all they're trying to do is steal the election, and that's all they've been doing. And Florida's been really good at doing that past ever since Al Gore, practically. And Minnesota's gotten into that one, too, as I will get to later on. But she said that she's insisted that employees are working 24/7 to ensure the ballots are counted accurately. There's no accurately about it, folks. They're trying to steal the election. Even before the breakdown of the machines, Bucher had maintained that she didn't think the county could meet the Thursday deadline, though she had struggled to find an excuse to justify an extension. Yet, as fate would have apparently had arrived, the government has flown in mechanics to repair the machines. Actually, they are just buying more excuses to break the law and keep recounting of non-existent ballots going on until all Democrats in Florida win, but they didn't. We're disappointed by the mechanical problems, she said, that are going to cause a further delay in the recount, she told reporters. It became evident, through the vigorous pace of counting, that the machines used for the recount were starting to get stressed. Oh, brother. The malfunctions resulted in the loss of more than a day's work. Bucher said on Monday that her office wouldn't be able to meet the 3 p.m. Thursday deadline imposed by the state. On Saturday, state election officials said Florida's 67 counties had to recount the more than 8 million ballots cast statewide because the results in three major elections, U.S. Senate governor and agricultural commissioner, were under the 0.5% point threshold that triggers the mandatory recount according to the state's law. However, in what could be a set for Democrats hoping to take the vote by any means necessary, lawyers representing Florida's Secretary of State successfully moved a case demanding a deadline extension to federal court before the Florida District Court judge could issue an extension. If the recount totals aren't submitted, the county will have no choice but to submit its vote totals, meaning that any Democratic gains from the reams of mystery ballots that have suddenly appeared out of nowhere, out of Election Day, and after Election Day, too, would be taken off and the original vote would be used. And the Democrats then raise hell. They are not mysterious way if you know the Democratic Party, folks. Remember the Coleman-Franken race in Minnesota? Franken did not win that race, but because ballots kept being found in trunks of cars and everywhere, he won because all the so-called ballots found were for him. Who knew these things could happen? Like I said in one of my updates a week or so ago, this is statistically impossible, but the Democrats do it daily, and they are setting the roadmap for the 2020 elections if they don't win, folks. Mark my words here. And how, do you ask? Cheat, lie, defraud, and hurt the American people. So my question to you is, why, oh, why do we keep electing these unlawful people to office or vote enough of them in that they can call for a runoff on recounts? They need to be beaten so badly that no amount of recounts can be used to change the outcome of any race, period. In other words, force the cheat right out of them, and that will be a little difficult to do, but it can be done, folks. I guarantee you that. When I started this show in 2006, it wasn't so easy to find stuff to talk about. Back then, the Democrats had some sort of decency left in them, so they wouldn't do the things that they are doing now just to gain the power that they so crave. Now they don't care how they win. They will do whatever they have to win. Make up ballots that didn't exist when the voting was done. Find them in abandoned cars, anything. You see that going on in Florida now. But from Breitbart comes this. The Government Accountability Institute, or GAI, research director, Eric Eggers, exclusively told Sirius XM, Breitbart News Tonight, senior editor-at-large Rebecca Mansour and Joel Pollack, that a report revealing that Florida Democrats asked voters to submit absentee vote ballots after Election Day is a smoking gun and could possibly lead to a racketeering investigations. Eggers said, I spoke with a Republican attorney today who was quite familiar with this and connected to the inner workings, and they believe that it is not only the smoking gun, but it is potentially the grounds for a RICO case. This is not over, folks. The first step to get out of the way. Let's get the election certified and let's get people sworn into office. I think that this is a very real problem. Ultimately, whether it's complete ignorance or an organized effort on behalf of the Florida Democratic Party to manipulate and violate the law. They sent altered forms out with hopes that they could just get away with it because they could get some sympathetic judges who would say, well, this is what the forms that these people received said, so I guess we'll have to go with it. At the end of the day, the basic argument in Florida right now is this. Should the laws that were in place on the day of the election be upheld? And that's the basic question. And the laws that were in place the day of the election should be upheld. And the Republicans are saying yes. The Democrats, on the other hand, are saying no. As Breitbart News' Joel Pollack reported, Florida Democrats allegedly asked voters to submit absentee ballots after Election Day using an official form that had been altered to make it look as though the voters were doing so within the legal deadline, the hopes that a judge would later allow the votes in the election. Already, a federal judge appointed by President Obama has said Florida voters can correct their signatures on mail-in and provisional ballots. Republicans in the state are appealing the decision. In a recent piece for Breitbart News, Eggers reviewed Brenda Snipes' history of allowing illegal aliens and felons to vote in elections in Broward County, along with her destroying of ballots. Snipes is in charge of the vote count in Broward County, where the state's election results have been held up. Imagine that, folks. Imagine that. We will be right back after these important messages.
$80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Imagine what lifestyle our military families live while they serve to protect us, both foreign and domestically. These families say goodbye to their loved ones for months and even years at a time. They miss births, birthdays, Christmases, anniversaries, first steps, first words, and they are sometimes not even recognized upon their return. They move every 2 to 4 years, their children have to go to a new school, make new friends, and just to keep up with all the changes and losses while their parent is gone is hard work. A lot of people don't realize the financial burden of relocating a family time and time again. Not only that, but insurance rates change every time, coming up with first, last, and deposit for an apartment if there isn't housing available to you. Traveling home for emergencies that the military doesn't cover. The list goes on and on. People think the government covers all costs for us, and it's unfortunately not true. Because of all the troubles they have, families are at times in need of help and greatly need our patriotic citizens to give them a helping hand by sending in donations. Sam Fam Inc. is a nonprofit 501c3 foundation that is dedicated to helping America's active military. We understand that separation is difficult, and being a single parent while your significant other is protecting our homeland is a burden that few can relate to. Our mission is to provide support, protection, and help boost morale and peace of mind for the active duty military. We also want to assist retired veterans. The families we help are chosen through essays. Now here is where we ask for help. Right now, we can only accept checks made out to Sam Fam Inc. That is SAM-FAM, Inc. 18 Eastern Avenue, Sacow, Maine, 04072, and that's SACO. Make sure to put my name or one of the other members' names on there. This can be credited with the right person. Your donations are tax deductible. Thanks in advance, and God bless. Vietnam was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefields, but where the enemy was nothing more than ghosts in the jungle, and they were superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol, six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death and destruction along with vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the enemy with precision and cutthroat accuracy. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, with his own business, the Matt Joseph's Investigation Company. His best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson Police Department. The job that gets Matt on the case is one that brings the Vampire Patrol back from its past and places it smack dab in the middle of the present, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Roof Butte not only holds mystery, but a cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the evening sky. Matt is the one who has been hired to find out what is going on there, and without becoming a part of the nasty plan going on in the area. Night Owls is the first in a new series of mysteries with Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://www.createspace1word.com/486-9187. That's www.createspace.com/486-9187. It is also available in digital form too, and on Amazon also. That's Night Owls, Matt Joseph Mystery by Robert P. Garding. Buy it, read it, and enjoy the reading experience again. Order Night Owls today.
Okay, we are back. Democrat Georgia gubernatorial nominee Stacey Abrams admitted Friday that she cannot win against Republican opponent Brian Kemp, but vowed to keep a federal lawsuit challenging the gross mismanagement of the state's elections. Of course, Abrams made her announcement shortly after 5 p.m., the earliest state officials could certify the results after a court-ordered review of absentee, provisional, and other uncounted ballots. Abrams' campaign had contended that there were potentially enough uncounted votes to force a runoff. Abrams told reporters that Kemp placed his hopes for election on the suppression of the people's democratic right to vote. Now, no, she was the one who was doing this, folks. Concession means to acknowledge an act is right, true, or proper, and I cannot concede that, she added. Further, Abrams revealed that she will file a federal lawsuit to challenge the gross mismanagement of Georgia elections. Of course, she is one of these people who is a sore loser and just for some reason or another just has to be a snowflake about everything, which is pretty much what most all Democrats that I have ever had any dealings with are. That's all they are, is snowflakes, and they whine and moan and bitch about everything that goes on that doesn't go their way, but they will turn it around and say that we're the ones who was doing all that and have no qualms about lying about that. I have one who does that constantly on my updates every day. He's constantly commenting about how I'm whining and moaning and bitching about everything, but he's the one who's doing it all. But I digress. It goes on to say, in the coming days, we will be filing a major federal lawsuit against the state of Georgia for the gross mismanagement of this election and to protect future elections, she said. Now, the only elections that she wants to protect are the Democratic ones, the ones for the Democrat Party. Republican parties be damned, but the ones that she's protecting is the the Democrats. But that's neither here nor there. Now, even though she has admitted that she cannot win, she will not concede the race. Typical liberal fashion now, isn't it? Abrams had hoped to become the first black governor in the deep South state and the first black female governor of any state. Abrams is voting, and voting rights activists have claimed for months that Kemp mismanaged the election system in his post as Secretary of State. Previous reports stated Abrams was considering an unprecedented legal challenge in the unresolved Georgia governor's race that could leave the state Supreme Court deciding whether to force another round of voting. Of course, another round of voting that has all kinds of fake ballots put in it, no doubt. Allegra Lawrence Hardy, Abrams campaign chairwoman, is overseeing a team of almost three dozen lawyers who in the coming days will draft the petition along with a ream of affidavits from voters and would-be voters who say they were disenfranchised. Yep, that's another one of the big words that they like to throw around, even though I don't think they even know what that means. Abrams said, then decide whether to go to court under a provision of Georgia election law that allows losing candidates to challenge results based on misconduct, fraud, or irregularities sufficient to change or place in doubt the results. The legal team is considering all options. Lawrence Hardy said earlier, including federal court remedies, which she wanted to include. Some Democrat legal observers note Abrams would be dependent on statutes that set a high bar for the court to intervene. Kemp's campaign, which already has shifted into transition mode, had presumed he would be inaugurated on January, criticized Abrams for pushing a publicity stunt and said her refusal to concede is a ridiculous temper tantrum, which essentially it is. Unofficial returns show Kemp with 50.2% of more than 3.9 million votes. I heard the Democrats say yesterday that 50% or more was an automatic win. But I guess they can't follow their own stuff there, can they, when they're on the losing end of this? Yep, that's the way they go all the time. Senator Chuck Schumer, Democrat, New York, reportedly lobbied senators on behalf of Facebook, which employs his daughter, convincing senators to stop criticizing the social network. According to a report from the New York Times on Facebook's internal handlings, Chuck Schumer, the Democratic Senate leader, intervened on Facebook's behalf and said he has long worked to advance Silicon Valley's interests. Of course, in one incident, Schumer reportedly lobbied Senator Mark Warner, Democrat, Virginia, to stop criticizing Facebook and instead focus on tackling right-wing disinformation. How about left-wing disinformation, Schumer? In July, as Facebook's troubles threatened to cost the company billions of dollars in market value, Mr. Schumer confronted Mr. Warner, by then Facebook's most insistent inquisitor in Congress, the Times claimed. Back off, he told Mr. Warner, according to a Facebook employee briefed on Mr. Schumer's intervention. Mr. Warner should be looking for ways to work with Facebook, Mr. Schumer advised, not harm it. Facebook lobbyists were kept abreast of Mr. Schumer's efforts to protect the company, according to the employee. A Senate aide briefed on the exchange that Mr. Schumer had not wanted Mr. Warner to lose sight of the need for Facebook to tackle problems with right-wing disinformation, the election interference, as well as consumer privacy and other issues, the Times continued. Schumer's daughter, Allison, works for Facebook as a product marketing manager, and according to Open Secrets, Schumer received $38,900 from the company in 2016, making him the second largest recipient of donations from Facebook, surpassed only to failed presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. Imagine that. And the insanity continues with this one, also from Florida. A male gym teacher has now been punished for refusing to oversee middle school girl get undressed in a boy's locker room. Now, you asked, you know, to me, to me, there was a lot of things wrong with this one headline. But we have to get in line here with this whole debacle of what happened when Obama became president. Now, there are several things wrong with this one, but I'm sure the story will explain it, even though it's still wrong, from the Daily Wire. A physical education teacher in Florida was punished for refusing to oversee a biological female middle schooler who identifies as a male, potentially to get undressed in the boys' locker room. The school stunningly allowed the female student to have access to the boys' locker room without so much as informing the male students who would be sharing the locker room with the girl or the student's parents. According to a complaint letter from Liberty Council to Pasco County's school district, the female student caught boys literally with their pants down, causing them embarrassment and concern by the fact that they had been observed changing by an obvious girl. Now, this is something else that just really has to just totally stop. And I have to stop right now for a little bit. I've had a phone call, so I'm going to have to go to another break, and I will be right back.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
We will be right back after these important messages.
No one can really imagine what lifestyle our military families live while they serve to protect us, both foreign and domestically. These families say goodbye to their loved ones for months and even years at a time. They miss births, birthdays, Christmases, anniversaries, first steps, first words, and they are sometimes not even recognized upon their return. They move every 2 to 4 years, their children have to go to a new school, make new friends, and just to keep up with all the changes and losses while their parent is gone is hard work. A lot of people don't realize the financial burden of relocating a family time and time again. Not only that, but insurance rates change every time, coming up with first, last, and deposit for an apartment if there isn't housing available to you. Traveling home for emergencies that the military doesn't cover. The list goes on and on. People think the government covers all costs for us, and it's unfortunately not true. Because of all the troubles they have, Families are at times in need of help and greatly need our patriotic citizens to give them a helping hand by sending in donations. Sam Fam Inc. is a nonprofit 501c3 foundation that is dedicated to helping America's active military. We understand that separation is difficult, and being a single parent while your significant other is protecting our homeland is a burden that few can relate to. Our mission is to provide support, protection, and help boost morale and peace of mind for the active duty military. We also want to assist retired veterans. The families we help are chosen through essays. Now here is where we ask for help. Right now, we can only accept checks made out to Sam Fam Inc. That is SAM-FAM, Inc. 18 Eastern Avenue, Sacow, Maine, 04072, and that's SACO. Make sure to put my name or one of the other members' names on there. This can be credited with the right person. Your donations are tax deductible. Thanks in advance, and God bless.
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE. To talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now, that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Okay, now we have to get back to this one story that, sorry about getting interrupted there. My wife called, and so I had to return her phone call, and for some reason she didn't answer, so I was back fairly quickly on that one. But on this story from the Daily Wire, it says, a physical education teacher in Florida was punished for refusing to oversee a biologically female middle schooler who identifies as a male, potentially to get undressed in the boys' locker room. The school stunningly allowed the female student to have access to the boys' locker room without so much as informing the male students who would be sharing the locker room with her, with this girl, or the student's parents. According to a complaint letter from Liberty Council to Pasco County School District, the female student caught boys literally with their pants down, causing them embarrassment and the concern by the fact that they had been observed changing by an obvious girl, reports the Federalist. Teachers and administrators were barred from speaking about the transgender policy, and when a male PE teacher refused to supervise the boys' locker room with the female student, he was reprimanded and told he would be transferred to a different school. Now, are we still living in America here, or this here is the problem, folks, that we have with Democrats winning any elected office in this country anymore, because we do not seem to have any Democrats at all who have any sane sense of what's right and wrong anymore. And this this story completely goes right down the line with that. With a gag order, the school administrators forbade teachers from talking about the change and ordered a male PE teacher to supervise the potentially undressed girl in the Chasco Middle School's locker room. The letter says, when he refused to knowingly place himself in a position to observe a minor female in the nude or otherwise in any state of undress, administrators told him he will be transferred to another school as discipline for not doing your job in the locker room. Pretty sad, huh? According to Liberty Counsel attorney Richard Mast, the male teacher, who was also a coach at the school, was first threatened to be put on administrative leave via email. He was informed that his refusal to oversee a potentially undressed female in the locker room would not be tolerated. Parents within the district have yet to be informed by the school of this situation, says the law firm, according to the Federalist, and the female student is still using the boys' locker room. Despite the initial September incident, then legal contract in October, then legal contact in October, the elected board for the district with 70,500 students has so far taken no action and administrators have refused to budge, the report notes. Unfortunately, these things are going on across the nation, and with school psychologists and guidance counselors, Mass said. The attorney underscored the pervasive nature of schools neglecting to inform parents of implemented transgender policies, such as students using bathrooms and locker rooms based on so-called gender identity as opposed to biological sex. According to the Federalist, the Pasco County School District implemented the transgender policies without informing the parents after they hired LGBT liaison Jackie Jackson Dean, the school's LGBT best practices guide, of which Jackson Dean was a primary author, indicates that transgender pronouns, locker room, bathroom dress code, and sports access are a student's rights, the report says. Additionally, according to LGBT liaison, schools have an obligation to not disclose the student's transgender status to other students or parents unless the student has provided explicit permission to do so. First off, parents have yet to be informed of this? What part of common sense says this is okay? Oh yeah, that's right, Obama in the left sense, of which there is none, folks. And this is getting ridiculous, this whole idea that all you have to do is just say, okay, I feel like a man today, or I feel like a girl today, I can go in and shower with the girls. How many of you would be, let's see, how many of you would want your children around something like this? I know I wouldn't. This is totally insane. And the problem with this whole thing is, folks, it's getting worse and worse all the damn time. And it's just totally insane. Going on to another subject, though, I was reading on the blog of my good friend and constitutional scholar, Douglas V. Gibbs, and he had written about a feeling that I had had about this last election, but never could put words to it. He did. Here is what he said. It turns out the political wave that slammed us on Election Day, November 2018, was neither red nor blue. In fact, in many ways, it was a wave designed to wash away the trash. I was a guest on Dave Levine's show the day I wrote this, and he brought up something that I had not even thought of. It turns out that the takeover by the Democrats of the House of Representatives was inevitable, and I should have seen it coming. The loss of the House by Republicans is not because it is some kind of referendum against President Donald Trump. The truth is, changing of the guard of the House of Representatives is actually a referendum against pro-amnesty Republicans. It began with Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, a policy put into place by President Barack Obama with an executive memo, which is basically an unnumbered executive order to grant amnesty to the children of illegal aliens. When President Trump went to repeal it with his own executive order, the establishment went nuts as if DACA is law. DACA was never a piece of legislation. There is no authority in the Constitution giving the courts the authority to strike down any of Trump's executive orders. And besides, if DACA was birthed through an executive action, then that is how it can be killed. The U.S. Congress and courts disagrees, so it became a battle. Out of that, a group of moderate Republicans who support Amnesty Light emerged. They believed the GOP leadership was stonewalling a vote on DACA and other immigration issues, so they created a discharge petition, which was designed to, once it was signed by a majority of the House members, circumvent Republican leadership and bring the four different immigration proposals working their way through the system to the House floor for a vote. The immigration was a huge issue among voters, and the voters were angry at these Republicans for the discharge petition. So, on Election Day, November 6, 2018, those Republicans were discharged from the House of Representatives. In other words, the Democrat Party did not gain the House of Representatives because people agree with them or because they were trying to send a message to the president about this, about his stances on issues. Midterm election was a cleaning house project where conservative voters refused to vote for the rhinos so as to relieve them of their position. The good news is that the 30 discharged petition Republicans got the boot. The bad news is that in order to do what was needed to be done, the Democrats would temporarily gain control of the House of Representatives. If the Tea Party conservatives run for those same seats in 2020, the House will return to the GOP, but with a more conservative group of legislators who are ready to make Donald Trump's second term even more eventful and productive as the first 2 years of his term have been. In short, suffer a little now so we can get it all fixed later. Thought of all of this and couldn't quite put words to it. I'm thankful that my friend Doug found the way to do it. So kudos to Doug and the show that he went on, because this is very plausible. And if we are really watching what is going on, this is exactly what could and should happen. We can always pray to God that it does, because sometimes to get what you want, you have to suffer a setback to get what you need farther down the line. And I do not think the American people are stupid, unlike the Democrats who are so giddy that they took the House, they don't even see what is happening. They will just help it along by forcing the things Americans don't want, making it, what I just talked about, the more plausible thing to happen in 2020. And that it came from Douglas V. Gibbs with a few of my own comments in there. But that is what I think happened in this last election. I don't really think it was a referendum against President Trump. I don't think it was anything against President Trump. But I do think it was a way to clean house, to get rid of the Republicans who were not doing what needed to be done. Now, all we need to do is get Tea Party and conservative Republicans to run in 2020 to oust these new Democrats. And a bunch of them need to be ousted, believe me. From BizPak New Review comes this one, folks, with references to the New York slimes, asking a question only the liberal media can get away with. The New York Times asked if Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump are good for the Jews. With the media intent on painting President Donald Trump as an anti-Semite in the aftermath of the Pittsburgh Synod synagogue shooting that claimed the lives of 11 people, Kushner, who is Jewish, and wife Ivanka, who converted to Judaism, presented an obstacle that must be overcome. For Jews who are deeply opposed to Donald Trump and truly believe he is an anti-Semite, is deeply problematic that he's got a Jewish son-in-law and daughter. How can that be? Dr. Jonathan D. Sarna, professor of American Jewish history at Brandeis University, told The Times. While some consider Kushner and Ivanka a positive force for pro-Israel policies, other Jews see the couple as wolves in sheep's clothing, allowing Mr. Trump to brush aside criticism that his words have fueled the uptick in violent attacks against Jews, The Times posted. The president's oldest daughter and son-in-law were named the world's most influential Jews by the Jerusalem Post in 2017, top 50 list, besting Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The reaction on social media was intense, with The Times being skewered over the disgusting article. But then again, what can you expect from a media who will not print anything that is worth being read? Like the truth? Just saying. From The Hill comes this one. Gillum officially concedes the Florida gubernatorial race. And that one is now over, folks. Democrat Andrew Gillum officially conceded to Republican former Representative Ron DeSantis in Florida's gubernatorial race as a recount of votes showed a margin Gillum was unlikely to close. Now that we are rounding that practice out, that process out, RJ and I wanted to take a moment to congratulate Mr. DeSantis on becoming the next governor of the next state of Florida, Gillum said alongside his wife. We also want you to know that even though this election may be beyond us, although nobody wanted to be governor more than me, this wasn't just about an election cycle. This was about creating a kind of change in this state that really allows for the voices of everybody or everyday people to show up again in our government and our state and in our communities. We know that this fight continues, he added. Gillum had initially conceded to DeSantis last week, but revoked the statement after further vote counts showed DeSantis' lead narrowing. The Tallahassee mayor thanked all of his supporters for their work and vowed to continue to advocate for causes he championed. We want you to know that we see you and hear you, and that your voices will continue to power us, and we will still stand on the front lines right alongside you to make this a state that works for us all. The issues that we cared about, the issues that we championed, the issues that we feel even still today are so passionately about still matter to us, he said. Gillum ran an unabashedly progressive campaign promoting policies such as Medicare for All. Now, on these people who constantly run on these things like Medicare for All, who in the hell is paying for all of this stuff? It has to be paid for by someone. And if you suddenly got the sinking feeling in the pit of your back pocket where your wallet is, you got it. The government would be reaching right in there to grab all of your hard-earned money. But that being said, Gillum positioned himself during the campaign as a staunch opponent of Trump, setting up the race as a battle of bases against DeSantis, who cast himself as a reliable ally of the president. So DeSantis won in Florida, and to the detractor who is constantly crying and bitching about my updates weekly, his name is Cliff, says, so now you can see, Cliff, there was not a referendum against Trump in this last election. Just saying. And we are running out of time here, and I've got a few other things that I wanted to discuss here. From Western Journal comes this one, folks. Have you ever wondered about the migrant caravan coming towards our borders, this is one thing you have to think about. We've all seen the pictures from the migrant caravan currently working its way up through Mexico towards the United States border. While the phenomenon has gotten less coverage than it did before the midterm elections, there's one item in particular that you can probably remember from the drone and helicopter wide shots showing the crowd. The waving flags, folks. President Donald Trump wonders why this is. "Isn't it ironic," he said, "that large caravans of people are marching to our borders wanting USA asylum because they are fearful of being in their country, yet they are proudly waving their country's flag," Trump said in a series of Friday tweets. "This is something I have wondered myself. If they are so fearful of their lives that they march illegally on another country, then why are they flying their country's flag so proudly? It's because they are not leaving to come to America for reasons they are saying, folks." What exactly the con was that explained the presidential tweet, although it didn't take much to deduce, caravans don't start as an organic phenomenon. People don't gather round the town square in, say, Honduras and say to themselves, "You know, this country is a mess. You know, we should round up tens of thousands of people, march on the U.S. border and demand asylum or cross over illegally. I bet you can get tons of media coverage along the way, too." If you therefore accept the caravans are inorganic phenomenon, then you also have to accept that there's a political mover behind it. And most common conspiracy theory on the internet seems to involve George Soros, although no evidence has been produced in this direction, at least none that anybody wants to talk about. A much more likely prime mover, indeed, one more willing to take credit for it, is Bartolo Fuentes, a former Honduran politician who says he organized the marches in order to shine a light on the failures of his country's leaders. In Honduras, the government wants to minimize why people are leaving. And that's the whole thing, people. We have to start wondering why these people are flying their country's flags if they're running to get out of their country. Just saying. And we are at the end of the hour for now, and I will be back next week, folks, in order to give you what we need to do. Next week it will be a 2-hour show. But this week I have to go to a store tonight, which I've got an hour left to go before it closes. So we will be back next week. And until then, hopefully you will have a great week. We will see you again next week. God bless America. God bless our troops. And as always, we will not be ruled. Have a good day. All right.
took inside the let the sound take you away.
God bless you all.